Testing, testing. March 11th, 1979, talking to Gladys Dart and Ruby, tape number 3. Okay. Wow. There are a whole bunch of questions I remember rattling off. Well, maybe we can talk about what it is you're doing in Ruby now.
Okay, mine is a little bit different situation from when it was in Hot Springs, because there it was a one-room multi-grade kindergarten through 8th and then high school correspondence students. And here I'm a classroom teacher, and I teach 6th through 8th, the junior high school. I'm one of four teachers here. We have a primary, junior high, high school, and a special ed teacher. And my students number 14 now. I started with 16 and lost 2 at mid-year. I handled their total program, with the exception of the PE in the gym, since we moved into the new school, which they take with the high school.
What about other kinds of projects? For instance, you've been talking to Altona Brown?
Yes, that was an outgrowth of ideas that we picked up at a workshop, particularly the one that Louis Ballard did on Indian music. We came back just to see what kind of interest we could generate with the students here, because this is a village that does have a strong white influence. And we knew that they didn't have any village dance group, native dance group, or we didn't see much of the native culture in action here. And when we did come back, we were surprised at the interest that... or the way the children did respond to the Indian music. And they did a couple of dances, which we had hoped we could incorporate into the Christmas program, but it was too late at that time to do it, because we had already set the stage, so to speak, for the Christmas program. But... also, the children became interested in puppet shows we had received with the State Museum kits. And so then we looked further into the legends of the local Athabascans, and received some material from the Alaska Native Workshop. And our students I have a student in the 7th grade who has translated a couple of those into plays that we are also working on to make into a puppet show. And then hopefully we could also do some other type of drama with some of the legends before the year is out. And this also generated interest in local resources. And I had known about Altona Brown since a 1961 Nuchalawoya meeting, where she did a very impressive, or sang a very impressive song that she had created in memory of five people who drowned in a boat. boating accident. And I was anxious to meet her. And when I did, I went with Sharon Resnick, the special ed teacher, and she was very impressive, and it was very easy to communicate with her. And so I asked her if she would be willing to spend some hours being interviewed and just not necessarily have any specific format, but just talk about things that she wanted to talk about. And I have spent several hours with her on this and have found have done several hours of taping with her as well, and hope to edit these and put these into a kit, and with Kurt's help also include some pictures of Altona at home, and probably reprints of some of the photographs that she has, and just leave it pretty just that way, with Altona's recordings and the pictures, and have it in the form of a kit that the children can use in the classroom. And that's all I plan to do with it.
That's something you're doing in your own time?
Yes, it's something that I do after school, but also it's something that she's being paid for on with Indian Education Funds. They did have a sewing class here and have had it for a few years, and the Indian Ed teachers felt like they had pretty well saturated that program this year and just wanted to cancel out for the remainder of the year, so we're able to use that funding for Altona. And if we do have time and money, hopefully we can do somebody else before the year is out.
Now, you talked before about the school being connected with the community, and how in some ways it was not connected with the community, but it ought to be more connected with the things that are going on, and I really agree with that. But I was wondering that Alaska right now, it seems, is in a time of change, as everybody says, and everybody has a different viewpoint of what the changes are that are going on. But since you've lived here for a long time, you've been closely connected to it. what would you say that the first, maybe we could just pick out a couple areas and then say how those things might be dealt with in the school. Like, for instance, native land claims, drinking problems in the villages, creation of national parks, changing lifestyles of people, you know, whatever. Maybe we could just pick a couple topics and like to ask you for a comment on it.
Well, you know, the native land claims already are a required course in the high school. And it is also being given here. And I am not familiar with the course. I haven't looked into the course at all. It was just started this semester, so it has only been running just a few weeks. But the basic philosophy is a great one. Simply because these are very important times, transitional times, in the lives of the natives. And they have received, you know, their rightful due as far as the native land claims are concerned. But also, it's an awesome responsibility that goes with that heritage. And if the Native Land Claim Act is taught, including the responsibility that they accept with this rightful inheritance, then the goals would have been met. But just to teach the Native Land Claim, as far as learning what the act means without realizing how important it is to their future, then I think a major objective would have been lost. But how the children are reacting to it here, I don't know. I don't have anything to do with that particular course. It seems to me that there has been a vacuum in the curriculum as far as Native studies go. You see all kinds of histories, you know, the white man's history, he's in curriculums, but there really aren't good basic elementary texts in Native history. And many of your teachers that come to Alaska aren't that well. They're new teachers, many of them arriving from the States, and they really aren't aware of this vacuum. And if they are, they need to be educated as well before they can in turn teach the students about it.
Do you think that do you have any ideas as to how they could be educated? You know, is that something that maybe the school district could do or should do?
Yeah, I think it is the responsibility of the school. Recently, you know, there's been, you know, we've had the Native land claims, we've had the pipeline, we've had introductions of or suggestions about added layers of government, and this is within the region as so they are very local problems. The regionalization was meant to bring local control to the people. But to me, the major responsibility of the regional school district is to make to make every avenue possible open for the local people to receive communication and information to make so they can make wise judgments about local control. I don't think we've done that as a school district, and I don't see how so regionalization in that sense hasn't fulfilled its obligation. I totally believe in local control, and I have a faith that local people do have the wisdom to make decisions that are the best, that serves all of the people in the best possible way. But I don't think that they are adequately being informed to make those judgments. I think this is a failing in the school district. And by the same token, it's a failing on the part of the teachers, you know. And it's a failing, when I say teachers, I mean myself as well.
What do you see as the major issues that the school district will be faced with, or the school district of this region, I mean, the people living in this region, will be faced with, say, in the next 10 years?
Well, if just recent events are any indication, it's going to be an issue of basic philosophy in government. There, we are getting more so in the last, 5 years, in the last decade, we are getting and hearing about more local government being as an inevitability. Of course, I heard this as a citizen of the state and a resident of Manly Hot Springs in 1958. In 20 years ago, there was the we were approached, or we weren't approached directly, but there was a movement to involve us in a borough that would have extended beyond from Hot Springs to the Canadian border, you know. And there were town meetings then as to what the local people wanted. And the feeling there locally was that the less government there was, the better, or why choose to have it until it's absolutely necessary. Now we're beginning to get a lot of this again, and just how much closer it is to an inevitability, I don't really know. But I'm sure that we will be challenged again and again on this point. But my personal philosophy is we don't need it until it's absolutely necessary, and I don't think that time has come now.
What are the forces that are requesting that we have a borough? It comes up again and again. There must be some sort of recurrent force that that advocates having a borough.
I think those forces are, it's at the level of state government, because we have already had legislation that was attempted in the last session, that where they tried to introduce legislation to tax properties in the unorganized borough, which failed. And it will probably be tried again this session. I don't know that it, whether or not it has been, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if it wouldn't be again. So when you get something rolling like this, then people, for that reason or other reasons, would try to create options to that.
We're not going to mention what's going on around here now. let's see. Go ahead and come to your questions. I'll have been in a good one.
I guess it was yesterday, Kurt brought this question up about the future, and you made some sort of comment about change, and you made a comment about you didn't see that much change in the next 10 years, but perhaps in the next 20.
It gets to be a relative thing. Maybe I said something in haste there, Kurt.
I think you were referring to the lands, 1991, maybe.
Yeah, I think that it will be, that deadline is important. You know? Of course, I suppose something could happen even to hasten that. But I think there the urgency with the natives especially would be to be educated by that deadline. So they will realize the value of their inheritance and be ready to handle the responsibility that of that inheritance. It's really a short, short time. But when I made that statement, I was thinking in terms of the Alaska Native Claim Settlement as being a very crucial factor.
Well, since the place you know best is Manly Hot Springs, and you've seen it go from a place you could only get to by air to having a road, since you're living there, what do you think has been the single most important factor of change in Manly Hot Springs?
Actually, there have been in the makeup of the town, there have been changes that have occurred. When we first went there, it was a town of bachelors and mostly childless couples. And then upon our arrival, I told you there was already one family there with small children. And then within 2 years of our arrival, we had sufficient students to start a school. As soon as you get a school into a community, it stabilizes that population because families with children whose parents don't want to teach them by correspondence will leave. And when there is a school there, they will stay. And so then you began to see old-timers, the few old-timers that there were left there slowly pass away. And so there was a reduction in that population, and it became a town that had married couples with children. But there weren't any young adults there because there wasn't any economic base to hold them there. And then after we went through that period, now we are in a new cycle where we do have a fairly good number of young adults, which is really great to see. So you have fewer older people and more younger adults, and you still have essentially the same school population.
So how do you think that's going to continue in the next 10 years?
I really don't see any rapid growth for hot springs. In all modesty, you know, the fact you have to also recognize that development of the hot springs also is part of the key to what could suddenly change the town. Say if there was a situation where there would be a sudden change in, I can't see it happening under the darts, you see, but if there should be a sudden change in ownership in the hot springs, and there would be a big corporation that would come in and develop the property, it could suddenly become a tourist town. And I can see where that could alter the town considerably. As it is now, you have an economy of miners and the fish processing plant there, which are seasonal and which I don't see developed to big corporation status. Well, does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure does. You know, one of the issues that's facing many places in the interior now, and all of Alaska really, is the development of a highway network. Did you see any differences occur in Manly when the highway got completed there? And what do you think would be the effects of having a highway system throughout Alaska?
Well, for me, I think it was an advantage. This is quite a subject, and there are very divided philosophies on this in Hot Springs. But with the development of the road, and we had, which meant it helped us. This way, we didn't have to depend upon somebody else, the riverboats or the airplane, for our supplies. This meant that we could go into town, and although we still have to plan to a major extent from fall to breakup for our supplies, still we can make those several trips in the summer. There's that strong faction about the road being open in the winter and that you're inviting vandalism by doing it. And I don't feel that strongly about it in that sense. I see more advantages. For example, the road to Livengood has been open for years, and there hasn't been any sizable increase in vandalism. And in turn, in Hot Springs, we have had people come in and do some vandalizing in some of the outlying mines, even though the road was closed. In this day and age, with snowmobile transportation and aircraft, you can get into isolated places if you want to get there without a road. And the fact that we are that distance from Hot Springs, still would be more of an adventure than just a joyride on a weekend if you were to make that trip. Even in the summertime now, that road is pretty much like the little girl. When it's good, it's very, very good. When it's bad, it's horrid. And a 2 days' rain can make the difference between it being a nice ride to being a miserable one.
What do you think about the extension of a highway system through other places in Alaska?
I hadn't thought about extensions except as an advantage to me. Of course, I would like to take that Hall Road up north. I think it would be really a nice trip. I think it's something that you would prepare for, and you would prepare for it with much more care than just, you know, another trip the same distance anywhere on the continent because of the fact that it is an isolated road as far as having service stations and what have you. But I think it would be an exciting trip to take. I see roads more advantageous than disadvantageous, I must admit. I would like to take a trip by road to several places in Alaska, you know, if there were a road there.
Well, I just have one more question, but I'll save it till right at the end. So,
well, you've talked about your children a number of times when they were young,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering if you might say a little bit about what they're doing now. Their relationship to you.
Uh-huh. I think all three of the children have a very strong feeling about our property. You know, home is home. And just the fact that they have all part of the property and plan to build homes there and would spend all of their time there if they could. About the only thing that takes them away from Hot Springs now is economic. They need to leave to find money and then they come back. That's probably the greatest reason that I see to development of the property is to give them the opportunity to be where they want to be. It's how it will be for my daughter when she does, if she marries, and if she marries someone who would want to be away from there, I can't tell, but she also has already purchased has the 10 acres of land and plans the home. So even if she were away, I knew that there would be times when she would want to be back. And this is certainly true of the two boys who sacrifice just to be there.
Do you think it's been a good growing up childhood for your kids to have been in Hot Springs?
I think it was an ideal place, simply ideal place to bring up their children, our children, and for anybody who brought their children up there. I think it was an ideal place. And I'm glad that no matter what development might come in the future, what development they might decide on when it's their decision to make, I'm glad that their childhood was spent the way it was.
You ready for my last question? Okay. This is going to be a hard one for you, I'm sure. But what do you think if someone were to say try to describe you to someone else, what do you think they would describe as your greatest accomplishment? Thank you, Mr. Ford.
I couldn't even begin to answer that question, Kurt. I haven't even thought of that. How would I think? If you were to think in terms of what you prize most, I have three children. Yeah. They would come first above anything. And after that, my husband, after the three children, my husband. And then my land. And then my profession. So I guess you would just put it in that order. But my children foremost above all. But you put them all in capital letters, one in a little more boldface than the other. But with stars all around my children.
I have one question. And that is, now, this book about the darts, checking letters, will be going out to the schools in the school district. And I was just wondering if there is anything in particular you thought, if you had a chance to tell kids, what would you want to talk to them about? Is there anything we've left out that you'd like to say that you think is important for kids to know? Our messages about education.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't like to leave messages. I don't think I'd even want to answer that kind of question, because any message that you leave, you don't leave it, you know, with words that, or I can't. I'm not that articulate. I would have to just, what I leave, I've left with my daily presence in the classroom. That's my message, you know, my daily performance in my classroom.
There is, we've never talked at all about your sister, who I know you're really close to. Mention that you have a sister in Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course we are very proud of her. She's a linguist, and she works with the Yupik language and is connected with the Alaska Native workshop at the university. And we consider her an extension of our immediate family, of course, since she and I are the two members of the family that are in Alaska. And of course, with both of us in education, we have very much more in common than just the love that you have for a close member of your family. And always look forward to the meetings that I have with her for that reason, because it's she's part of the same world that I am, you know, more than family, profession, and Alaska, you know, all part of the same thing.